भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हरे कृष्णा। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम 10th कैंटो चैप्टर 84 वर्स नंबर 27। श्री शुक उवाच इत्यानुज्ञाप्य दशा इत्यानुज्ञाप्य दशार्हम् सॉरी दिस इज 27 आई हैव टू रीड 26 आई एम सॉरी ओके सो दिस इज द सेजेस स्पीकिंग। तस्याद्यते ददृशीमाङ्घ्रिम् अघौघमर्ष तीर्थास्पदम् हृदि कृतम् सुविपक्वयोगैः उत्सिक्तभत् त्युपहताशय जीवकोशा आपुर्भवत् गतिमथानुगृहाण भक्तान् तस्याद्यते ददृशीमाङ्घ्रिम् अघौघमर्ष तीर्थास्पदम् हृदि कृतम् सुविपक्वयोगैः उत्सिक्तभक्त्युपहताशय जीवकोशा आपुर्भवत् गतिमथानुगृहाण भक्तान् तस्याद्यते ददृशीमाङ्घ्रिमघौघमर्ष तीर्थास्पदम् हृदि कृतम् सुविपक्वयोगैः उत्सिक्तभक्त्युपहताशय जीवकोशा आपुर्भवत् गतिमथानुगृहाण भक्तान् तस्याद्यते ददृशीमाङ्घ्रिमघौघमर्ष तीर्थास्पदम् हृदि कृतम् स्वविपक्वयोगैः उत्सिक्तभक्त्युपहृताशय जीव ग्रहाण भक्तान् तस्याद्यते ददृशीमाङ्घ्रिमघौघमर्ष तीर्थास्पदम् हृदि कृतम् सुविपक्वयोगैः उत्सिक्तभक्त्युपहताशय जीवकोशा आपूर्भवद् गतिमथानुगृहाण भक्तान् तस्याद्यते ददृशिमाङ्घ्रिमघौघमर्ष तीर्थास्पदं हृदि कृतं सुविपक्वयोगैः उत्सिक्तभक्त्युपहताशय जीवकोशा अपूर्भवत् गतिमथानुगृहाण भक्ता माताजी तस्याद्यते ददृशिमाङ्घ्रिमघौघमर्ष तीर्थास्पदं हृदि कृतं सुविपक्वयोगैः उत्सिक्तभक्त्युपहताशय जीवकोशा आपूर्भवत् गतिमथानुगृहाण भक्तान् तस्य हिज अद्य टुडे ते युअर ददृश्यम वी हैव सीन अंघ्रिम द फीट अघ ऑफ सिंस ओघ फ्लड्स मर्ष विच अंडू तीर्थ ऑफ द होली पिलग्रिमेज साइट द गैंजेस आस्पदम द सोर्स हृदि इन द हार्ट कृतम प्लेस्ड सु वेल विपक्व मैच्योर्ड योगैः बाय दोज हुज प्रैक्टिस ऑफ योगा उत्सिक्त फुल्ली डेवलप्ड भक्ति बाय डिवोशनल सर्विस उपहत डिस्ट्रॉयड आशय द मटेरियल मेंटालिटी जीव ऑफ द इंडिविजुअल सोल कोशाः हुज एक्सटर्नल कवरिंग आपुहु दे अटेंड भवत योर गतिम डेस्टिनेशन अथ देयरफोर अनुगृहाण प्लीज शो मर्सी भक्तान टू योर डिवोटीज ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय द फॉलोअर्स ऑफ हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय ट्रांसलेशन Today we have directly seen your feet, the source of the holy Ganges, which washes away volumes of sins. Perfected yogis can at best meditate upon your feet within their hearts. But only those who render you wholehearted devotional service and in this way vanquish the soul's covering, the material mind, attain you as their final destination. Therefore, kindly show mercy to us, your devotees. Purport. The holy river Ganges has the power to destroy all sorts of sinful reactions because she originates at the Lord's lotus feet and thus contains the dust of his feet. Explaining this verse, Srila Sridhar Swami says, If the Lord might advise the sages that they need not concern themselves with devotional practices, because they are already far advanced in spiritual knowledge and austerity. They hereby respectfully decline such a suggestion, pointing out that only those yogis who have destroyed their material mind and ego by surrendering to Krishna in pure devotional service can attain full perfection. They conclude by praying to the Lord that He favor them in most merciful way by making them His devotees. ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नम ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। So first, like to seek blessings from so many wonderful Vaishnavas assembled, and as our Vrajmohan Prabhu that day mentioned, those who are not assembled as well, and all the radio Vaishnavas who may be hearing. So this is a special verse. In the sense, when I went to the verse and its purport. In my humble understanding, two things really came in forefront of the mind. And I also actually was referring to some other lectures given by any other speakers, eminent speakers on this verse. So I came across one lecture given by Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj. And he also points out this fact. So this is a very clear thing that a wholehearted devotee in comparison to a yogi is clearly established as a superior person. So this is the verdict of Srimad Bhagavatam. It comes in so many places. And a classic example of this fact is the pastime of Amrish Maharaj and Durvas Muni. So many times we have heard this pastime, but I will just take out some few important points of this pastime. So the very wonderful word which has been used in this verse, and it is actually highlighted by Sridhar Swami in his commentary and also by the followers of Srila Prabhupada, is a wholehearted devotee. So a wholehearted devotee is considered as a far superior than a yogi. Even a yogi feels that being a wholehearted devotee is a very covetable position. Even when Ramananda Rai met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in South India, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him a question that what is the greatest fame in this world? And Ramananda Rai replied that the greatest fame is to be known as a pure devotee of Krishna. So you can be known as a great yogi, but still being known as a pure devotee is better and is considered higher. So, in the pastime of Amrish Maharaj and Durvas Muni, so if you hear the lecture of Srila Prabhupada, and many places Prabhupada makes this point very clear. He says that Durvas Muni actually wanted to show off his powers. That's why actually later on in this entire story we see that he had to go through a lot of humiliation. So as the story goes, so Durvas Muni visited the place of Amrish Maharaj. And Amrish Maharaj, as we know, and specifically this word wholehearted devotee, because even within the process of Bhakti Yoga, there are 9 processes. And there are different personalities. As we know, they epitomize different processes of devotional service. But Amrish Maharaj, he epitomizes all the 9 processes. So, Amrish Maharaj is performing a year-long fast. and the time had come to break the fast. And just at that time, Durvas Muni actually appeared there. And because he is Atithi, so Atithi Devo Bhava, that's our culture. So he respected him, he asked him to take bath and then make arrangements for his prasadam. So obviously, Durvas Muni went to take bath and the king had to wait to break the fast because he couldn't break the fast, he couldn't honor the prasad because Durvas Muni had not honored the prasad. And he was a guest. So as most of the kings would do at that time, he consulted his Brahmana priests. So they said, okay, Durvas Muni has not yet come, but what you can do is you can have some Charanamrut. So when you have Charanamrut, it's like breaking your fast also. And it's also that you have not really honored prasadam, so you don't offend Durvas Muni in that way. So he accepted it. So just, this is something which I recently heard, that in the Indian culture, Atithi Devo Bhava is there. And we also have many big, big actors nowadays in Hollywood who promote this particular theme. But that is the fourth principle. The Indian culture, the way it is set up, is the first is Matru Devo Bhava, then Pitru Devo Bhava, then Acharya Devo Bhava, and then Atithi Devo Bhava. So there is a systematic. The mother and the father are accepted as the first spiritual masters. Of course, many devotees may say, but my mother doesn't allow me to chant Hare Krishna, so do I accept her as a spiritual master? But we are not talking about that particular case. If you read Krishna book actually was the first book which came in ISKCON in terms of a book. Before that we had magazines and back to Godhead magazines. The first book came was this, and Srila Prabhupada offers right in the first place this book to his father. And he says that in the loving memory of my father, who taught me how to play Mrudanga, who taught me how to worship Krishna, and later on these thoughts were solidified by my spiritual master. So very wonderfully he explains it. This is how a father is supposed to be. Now as a devotee, I can't expect my father to be like this. But I can expect when I become a father, I have to be like this. That's what we can do. That's within our capacity. So that is Matru Devo Bhava, Pitru Devo Bhava, and then Acharya Devo Bhava. So obviously the king, he followed the acharyas. So the priests were there. He consulted them. So the priest said, okay, you can break. So that way also he is not breaking the principle. He is anyway following the Acharya Devo Bhava as before the Atithi Devo Bhava. And he followed that. But then Durvas Muni, he understood he was performing tapasya and he deliberately was making it late. And he understood, okay, I have been offended. Somebody honored prasad before me. So he came there in rage, chastised the king. In the fit of his anger, he plucked a hair from his head, dashed it on the floor, and a huge demon came out, a fiery demon. And Amrish Maharaj, being a devotee of Krishna, when he saw this horrible sight, he just stood back, folded his palms, prayed to. He understood, this is my end. Now nothing can save me. I offended this sage, I offended a Brahmana. Just folded his arm and prayed to Krishna. Krishna, maro bhi rakho bhi jo ichha toha. And then Lord Krishna sent the Sudarshan Chakra. So it's not specifically mentioned that Lord Krishna sent it. The Sudarshan Chakra just came there. And that's how Sudarshan Chakra is. You don't really need to tell it to do anything. It just comes. And the Sudarshan Chakra first killed the demon and then it started chasing Durvas Muni. So that's how Sudarshan Chakra functions. It destroys the immediate cause and then it also destroys the ultimate cause. So it follows the allopathy and Ayurveda both. So it's like you address the symptom and then you address the main disease also. So Sudarshan Chakra started following Durvas Muni and then Durvas Muni had to go. So we'll not go into details. Now the question comes that in pastime of Parikshit Maharaj, when he was also cursed by Shrungi, again a great Rajarshi, just like Amrish Maharaj, again a person who would be perfecting his life by the process of Sankirtan, the process of hearing process, Shravanam, and again a Brahmana in fit of an anger cursing, but we don't see Sudarshan Chakra coming there. Right? Or Sudarshan Chakra coming, killing Shrungi and then chasing Shrungi and then he's going everywhere. Nothing like that. In fact, the snake actually came and finally it bit Parikshit Maharaj. So what is the difference? The difference is, in the story of Parikshit Maharaj, everything was happening by the will of Krishna. Even the cursing of Parikshit Maharaj, the offending of the Brahmana, everything was happening as per the will of Lord Krishna. But in case of Ambarish Maharaj, it was not happening as per will of Lord Krishna. Rather, it was happening out of the whim of Durvasa Muni. And why specifically he would choose Ambarish Maharaj to show his prowess? Because he knew that Ambarish Maharaj is a pure devotee. Because he knew that I am not a pure devotee, but I am a great yogi. And he is a pure devotee, and therefore he wanted to show this fact that I am more powerful. And this mentality, this manasikta, that I am better than you because I am exceeding in so and so aspects of devotional service. That is what the great sages are talking here, or the followers of Prabhupada are pointing here in the purport, in the verse. That many, many great sages, they are not able to do what a great devotee is able to do. And that is what has been pointed out. What a devotee is able to do, the devotee is actually able to vanquish. So I was just reading the meaning of this word vanquish. In dictionary, the vanquish means thoroughly defeat. It says vanquishing the material mind means thoroughly defeating the mind. That is not possible. Actually, the process of yoga, the Ashtanga yoga process, it teaches you systematically how to control mind. But what at best you can do is control your mind. You cannot thoroughly defeat. But the process of bhakti is so powerful that one thoroughly defeats the material mind. And when a great sage, even a great yogi, he sees that particular thing, you know, it's like we hear the story of Yamadutas and Vishnudutas in the sixth canto. The Yamadutas are actually very powerful personalities. They are very robust, their bodily muscles, their eyes and their this, they are so huge. And Radhanath Maharaj often tells in his lectures that even big WWF champions, their bodybuilders, these Yamadutas, they come and they pick them as mushrooms and they take them back to the abode of Yamaraj. They are so powerful, just by look, by their physique. But when Vishnudas appeared there, the Vishnudas are not like built muscles and weird faces, tall body, they must be tall, but very handsome and delicate features, very sweet looking features. But when Yamadutas saw Vishnudutas, they said, oh my God, they are powerful, we can't touch them. Right? So somebody who may be very advanced in yogic power, in mystic yoga process, he may be thinking, I am great, but when he is face to face with a pure devotee of Krishna, he understands, I can't do this what this person can do. This is not possible. Right? So the great sages, Krishna have actually glorified them that you are such great ascetics, but they are saying that what great you are talking about, Krishna. We are not great. Because the great devotees who can vanquish their minds, they are the real great people. So this is the one thing which really stands out in this purport. The second thing was a prayer. So these are prayers of the great sages. The name of the chapter is Teachings of Sages, but essentially there are prayers. And if you see from around 16th verse or so, the sages starts praying to Lord Krishna. Because when Krishna came and he appreciated them, they became dumbfounded. And they started glorifying. And then in these shlokas, they are actually wrapping up their prayers. This is the last prayer. But in this purport, what is really brought out is that a prayer, it may appear sometimes to be a very boring monologue. You see, like when you take Krishna book, and when the prayers thing come, people say, "Arey, abhi prayers aa gaya, abhi chalo, skip the pages or read it fast or maybe not interested or whatever." But in this particular purport, we see that it is not a boring monologue, but it is a very intensely emotional dialogue. And this particular verse is so special that in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, this verse is actually quoted by Sanatana Goswami. And Sri Gopi Parandhana Prabhu, in the commentary, he actually explains the whole dialogue that is taking place. And it is so intense and so emotional. So we see that in the earlier shlokas, when the sages appeared, Krishna told them that, you know, great demigods, the authorities of the fire, air, ether, and the controllers of all these planets, they cannot purify. But simply by your sight, people are purified. And then they say that, he says, even people visit great pilgrimage places, Tirtha Kshetras, but there no purification is there. It may take gradually long time. Or some people may worship the deity of Krishna also, images made. That may take a long time. But my dear sages, just by associating with you for a few hours, they immediately become purified. So the sages first are countering that argument. They say, you think that by associating with us, you become purified. But look at yourself, my dear Lord. What is your position? Simply the water which is washing just the toe of your feet. It is not even washing your whole body. Just the toe of your feet, the water is so purifying. And the word here which is used, agha ogha, that means the floods of sinful reactions are vanquished. The water is so purifying that people may be taking bath, and the people have volumes and volumes of sins, they are destroyed in some time. That is your greatness. And you know, as this is a prayer, so they also follow the typical prayer format where they actually glorify the personality. Then they submit their own humble position. And in the end, they ask for a benediction. And what is the benediction they are asking at the end? They are asking a benediction that, please Lord, make us your devotees. Make us your wholehearted devotees. Now, why is it that the sages are saying like this? So, Sridhar Swami actually says that the sages are led by Vyasadeva and Narad Muni and many such great devotees who are in fact the Sampradaya Acharyas. They are actually engaged wholeheartedly in pure devotional service. But still this prayer is being offered. Why? Because there are also people such as Vishwamitra Muni, such as Bhrigu Muni, who gave more importance for tapasya at some point in time in their life. So on behalf of all of them, this prayer is being offered. Right? And when this prayer is offered, then Krishna may say, because they are saying that, please make us your devotees. So Lord Krishna may say, what is the use of you becoming devotees? You are already so much advanced in so much of austerity. You are performing austerities in millions of years. Nobody can match your capacity. So there is no need for you to perform devotional service. And then to counter that argument, the sages are again saying that, no, my Lord, how can you actually say like this? We may be great, great yogis, but we are not able to do what your devotees are able to do. Your devotees are thoroughly able to conquer your mind, but we are not able to do it. So please accept us as your humble servants. So it's a very intense and emotional dialogue which is happening. So even when the prayer is going on, you should not feel that it's just a boring monologue that one person is talking, another person is just sitting and hearing. Okay, go on. I want to hear. No. There is an intense emotional exchange which we are not able to decipher, but the acharyas in the commentaries, they are bringing out that. So why is this emotional exchange existing? And that is the third principle I just wanted to highlight. This is this principle of reciprocation. That whenever you go to Krishna, there is some reciprocation. The principle of reciprocation is so great that practically every devotee who has had engaged in devotional service in some point in time has experienced some reciprocation from Krishna somewhere. It has to come. Why is it so? The concept of reciprocation is so great in Lord Krishna that even in an Upanishadic verse, and Srila Prabhupada quotes that verse many times in Bhagavad Gita, it is mentioned that how in a living entity, the shloka is there, samane vrukshe purusho nimagno anishaya shochati muhyamana. He said the super soul and the soul, they are sitting in the same body. The conditioned soul is anishaya shochati, is constantly hankering, constantly lamenting. There are so many problems in a devotee's life. In a conditioned soul's life. So if you meet a person, you know, you may say that, the person may say, no, actually I'm happy. I'm very happy. So what is the form of this happiness? You know, it is like, you know, sometimes a person is traveling in a boat. And while traveling in a boat, suddenly, you know, he's enjoying the ride. Wow, the boat is so nice and he's happy. And suddenly a hole comes up. And the water starts coming inside. So immediately he has to plug the hole. Now there is nothing to plug the hole, so he plugs the hole with a finger. And again, now everything is so nice, I am enjoying the ride. And another hole comes up, close to that hole. So again he has to plug that hole with another finger. And then third hole comes up. So plug that hole with third finger. And then another hole comes up. And all his fingers are now busy. And another hole comes up. So he put his foot also, plug that hole. And still I am so enjoying. So as long as all these holes are plugged, people are enjoying. And the whole life is simply an effort to plug these holes. One with a foot, one with a hand, one with a... And as long as these holes are plugged, people are happy. The moment one more hole comes up, the whole enjoyment crashes like a... Like that, those towers in the United States of America, destroyed by the terrorists. When the terror of Maya, it hits the final rocket, you know, the whole pillar, skyscraper building of enjoyment just falls down in a matter of moments. You can see it. Our Anand Vrindavan Prabhu, he quotes this example always, that when he was working in stock exchange, and people would say that, "Are, why are you chanting this Krishna name, Krishna name? No, Krishna is there in my heart." And when he would say that, "Are, you should be afraid of death. Death may come at any time." And they would say, "Are, why are you worried about death all the time? This is such a pessimism. You should be not afraid of death. Face the death any time. Let the death come. This is all thoughts coming from your, you know, so-called cult of death and all these things." And he said, when those 1993 bomb explosions took place, all these people, there's somebody hid under the table, somebody just ran away, nobody just scared for what's happening around. Everyone just escaped like cockroaches escaping inside, you know, when you sometimes come in the kitchen, all the cockroaches just escape. All that daring and everything just goes away, evaporates. So as long as your holes are nicely plugged, the enjoyment continues. But the moment that is, it just completely destroyed. Therefore, Krishna says that dukkha yonai evate. This entire effort of enjoyment is actually breeding more dukkhas. And it is simply an effort of counteracting those dukkhas only. Nothing more is happening. And that is termed as an enjoyment. You know, how much can you enjoy? There is nothing left. So, missed the point. So, because this process of enjoyment is so temporary, what happens when that same Jivatma is constantly in that anxiety? The Upanishadic verse mentions, if he just looks back in the other direction, Jushtam Yada Pashyati is mentioned. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead is also sitting in the heart as a bird, and this person is enjoying and is actually suffering. If he simply looks in the direction, immediately he becomes free from all miseries. So the bird is just waiting. He's just waiting to see, waiting to reciprocate. So immediately this reciprocation of Krishna is always there. People experience this in their life. So what I want to ask one question, that if Krishna is such a great person, then why is it that, and when, if he can reciprocate so well, then why does it happen that so many people, they go away from the path of Sanatana Dharma and they land up accepting other religions sometimes, or they land up accepting some other faith and they go away? The question is, Krishna is a reciprocating personality, but whose responsibility is the reciprocation? Who owns the responsibility for reciprocation? So, I'll just tell you a small example in my own life. So how this whole principle of reciprocation works, which actually happened, and I'm sure this must have happened in the life of so many people. Similar examples. So this is probably in year 2001. I don't remember exactly. Probably 2001. Yeah, so it's 2001. So what happened is my wife suddenly had a desire that we should offer jewelry to Gopinath on Janmashtami. So she told me that I want to offer jewelry to Lord Gopinath on Janmashtami. And I did not even have a 5-figure salary that time. So I said, "Are you sure you want to offer jewelry?" I said, "Please don't forget the fact that he's in South Bombay. And he's, of course, he's the Lord of the universe, not just Lord of South Bombay. But the people and kind of jewelry and the dresses that they are offered to him on the Janmashtami is, you know, you can't afford anything close to it." He said, no, but I have a desire. So, and the desire was so strong that this suddenly came up just before one day of Janmashtami. And I came very tired from the office and I said, now, okay, let's sleep because tomorrow is a whole day fast. He said, no, we have to go to buy the jewelry. I said, okay, fine. So then I went out. Then we went to one shop. And typically when you go out with women for shopping, you know, the experience is like one shop is not enough. So then you go on this shop, that shop. And finally one set of jewelry was chosen. That okay, we'll. And I said, this is a plastic jewelry. This is, are you sure that you want to offer this on the day of Janmashtami to Gopinath, who is in South Bombay? So are you sure? He said, no, we have to do this. I said, okay, fine. So she took the jewelry. We took it. I came to temple in the morning, early morning for Janmashtami. And we came for, somehow we reached for Mangal Arati. And then she said, I was thinking that I will not offer this. Because I was feeling very embarrassed to offer such a cheap thing on such a special day. So she said, no, you go. Offer. So she reminded me just before entering the temple again. So you go. So I went. So this devotee sometimes they chant here before dressing in front of the acharyas. That time acharyas were not there. So some devotees were there. As long as I remember, it was Madhvacharya Prabhu. He was there. So I gave that to him and I said, okay, fine. I said, I'm relieved from one responsibility. And then the wonderful Janmashtami started, probably to Radhanath Maharaj who sang the Janmashtami. And then the devotees chanting, wonderful Guru Puja, wonderful chanting session. And then the darshan opening time came and I was standing there and the darshan opened. And I saw that Gopinath was wearing that locket. And I was, that cheap plastic locket, you know, and I was thinking, he's actually, and it was not, and Gopinath was not wearing the locket in the neck. He was wearing it in the hand like this. So it was quite prominent. So I was so moved by that. I said, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam, it's even plasticum. I mean, it's like, it's not an organic substance. It is a most third quality and he's wearing it. Now, I want to ask a question to all of you. This entire episode of reciprocation, who is responsible? Is it the devotion of my wife which is responsible? Is it Gopinath who is responsible? Or is it Madhvacharya Prabhu who is responsible? So, a person who is a Kanishtha Adhikari, when such a thing happens to his life, he says that, Are Krishna, kya reciprocation hai? I mean, I got something, and then, you know, Krishna accepted. But when you little bit get educated in Krishna consciousness, when you try to understand how the process works, you understand, no, Krishna is not accepting anything from me directly. Whatever mercy is happening through devotee. Right? So, it is a uttardayitva, it is a responsibility of each and every brahmana to make it sure that he makes the living entity feel that the reciprocation is happening to you. If a brahmana fails, so in the history of mankind, wherever and whenever a brahmana has failed to prove this fact, that Krishna is reciprocating with you, he has become a cause of spreading atheism. So the rules of Brahmana, if you see, Krishna so wonderfully mentions in Bhagavad Gita, he says, Jnanam Vijnanam Astikyam. So Brahmana has to promote Astikyam. And how is the Astikyam promoted? The Astikyam is promoted when Brahmana makes it feel that, my dear friend, Krishna is reciprocating with you. This is how he is doing it. Another incident happened. This happened through a devotee, of course. But recently, on one particular Sunday morning, I brought my daughter to temple. And she never likes to come for Mangal Arati because she likes to sleep. But she came for Mangal Arati and I told her that you should not sit on the chairs. Please, you should stand there because the chairs are meant for old people. And you're not supposed to sit on the chair and sleeping. So please stand and take darshan. So she came and she took darshan. And after my seva was over, she came and she told me, Baba, you know, Gopinath reciprocated with me. I said, how? She said, no, I was doing that seva there of doing this gandha, putting it on people. And I did my seva. And then one Mataji came and told me, now you can take this with you. This is yours. This happened to me because I was taking darshan of Gopinath. So now who is responsible for this reciprocation? Is that Mataji who thought that it is important that this is a mercy coming from Krishna and that has to be given to this child? Right? So now this impression has gone in this mind of the child that yes, Krishna, when he says patram pushpam phalam toyam, he's accepting it. He's even accepting my simple darshan. But whose responsibility is this to communicate this? The responsibility lies with the devotee and especially the brahmana who is in touch with the deities. And we see this particular principle is being systematically followed in our entire sampradaya. The fantastic example, I think Rajgopal Prabhu gave that example of Sanatan Goswami's appearance day. He was mentioning that when Sanatan Goswami and Haridas Thakur, they were in Jagannath Puri, they were not entering the temple of Lord Jagannath because they would feel that, okay, we are coming from a lower caste. Of course, Sanatan Goswami was coming from the highest class, but because he accepted the service in an Islamic king, he was almost considered as an Islamic. And therefore he thought, okay, I am an impure person. And if I go near the temple, I will touch some pujari, I may touch some other devotees, they will lose their caste, so let me stay outside. So he wouldn't enter the temple. And Haridas Thakur, now he is Lord Brahma. And he is thinking that, oh, I am born in a Muslim family. If I go and do like this, so I will stay outside the temple. They are also doing like this. And Krishna Swaraj Goswami mentions that the same Lord Jagannath, he would come out with hands full of Mahaprasad and give it to Sanatan Goswami and Haridas Thakur. Now tell me one important thing. Is personality like Haridas Thakur require reciprocation from Krishna to continue his devotional service? No. Is personality like Sanatan Goswami require reciprocation from Krishna? No. But Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sannyasi, he is a leader of society. He wanted to ensure that no, reciprocation has to be there. So he would come out with this whole glass, handful of Mahaprasad, and gave it. And another wonderful story that appears in the pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sorry, what's that? Okay. So another wonderful story that happens in the pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the story of Subhuti Rai. Now the Subhuti Rai, he was actually a Brahmana. And he had a servant. And the servant was actually coming from a Islamic background. His name was Nawab Hussain Saeed. It's mentioned in the books by certain acharyas. So the Nawab Hussain Saeed, he was servant at Subhuti Rai's house. And one day Subhuti Rai asked him to dig a tank or something like that. And he did not do his job properly. So Subhuti Rai punished him. He actually whipped him on his back. Later on it so happened that this Nawab Hussain Saeed, he actually became a king. But because Subhuti Rai, as a owner or as a, you know, as his master, has always treated him very well. On this one occasion he hit him only, that's it. So he would treat him with respect. But one day the wife of this king, she saw those whipping marks on the back of this king. And she asked him, what are these whipping marks coming from? She said, no, the Subhuti Rai, you know, one day it happened like that. She said, "Acha, you should actually kill him. You should give him Muttudanda." And the king said, no, I mean, I can't do like this. He is a great worshipable person. Then he says, at least you go and you destroy his caste. So the king went, and from a pot, from he would drink the water, he sprinkled the water on the head of Subhuti Rai in public. If something like this happened in today's, people would just give a slap and say, yaar, kya pani phek raha hai mere upar? You know, it's nonsense. But that time it was not like this. This, when people saw that, oh, he has lost the caste. And Subhuti Rai also, he did not go against the tradition. He said, okay, fine, I have lost my caste. He was a humble person. But then he didn't want to be like that. He didn't want to lose his caste. So that was his culture. That was culture in his heart. So he went to some brahmanas. He actually traveled to Varanasi. And he asked some brahmanas that, what should I do? And the brahmanas told him, see, the only way to again become a brahmana is that you have to drink boiling ghee. And that by drinking the boiling ghee, you will die. But because you have drunk that boiling ghee, you will take next birth as a Brahman. And that's the only way. And because, so he said, oh, no, obviously I can't do like this. So he was in Varanasi, but when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Varanasi, he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him that, okay, you do one thing, you first go to Vrindavan. Chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra every day. And whenever the devotees come to Vrindavan, serve them. Right? If you do that much, he said, I ensure you that you will not lose your caste. You will still remain a Brahmana. What to become a, remain a Brahmana, you will become more than a Brahmana, you will become a Vaishnava. And Subhadra accepted that message. And it is mentioned that Subhadra actually went there, he started chanting, started serving Vaishnavas slowly, slowly. But then he became so attached to serving Vaishnavas. So I was reading this book, actually it is written by one godbrother of Srila Prabhupada, and he points this out in his book. He says this person became so attached to serving Vaishnavas, just like it is mentioned here, he became a wholehearted devotee. That what he would do is that he would, now see, he was a Brahmana, he was intelligent. So what he would do is he would actually sell wood. From the wood, he would get 5 paisa. Is mentioned here, the revenue, total revenue was 5 paisa, or rather the profit was 5 paisa. He would cut the wood from the jungle, so everything that comes to the profit. So 5 paisa profit. Out of the 5 paisa, 1 paisa he would use for his food, and 4 paisa he would invest. He would invest it with a merchant. He said, okay, I keep with this with you, and you have to return back to me with interest whenever I want it. And the merchant probably was an honest person, so he did that. And with this 4 paisa and the interest, what he would do, he would buy yogurt and rice. And he would serve the Bengali Vaishnavas who would be visiting Vrindavan. Because in Vrindavan, it's a basically roti culture. You more often get a roti when you go out for begging. You never get rice. And the Bengali Vaishnavas would find it difficult to digest roti. So he would make, cook rice for them, he would mix yogurt, and then he would personally take them on a yatra. And it is mentioned that when first time Rupa Goswami went to Vrindavan, Subhadra actually took him and made him visit all the places of Vrindavan. And Rupa Goswami was extremely happy with his devotion. Right? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu successfully retained this person under the umbrella of Sanatana Dharma. Simply by teaching him the principle of reciprocation with devotees. Such a powerful person, principle. And in the same sampradaya, it's coming ahead. So it's a wonderful story about Srila Prabhupada also, that how this reciprocation is so important. And Prabhupada, in various occasions, made it a point. And he made it sure that devotees are feeling that Krishna is accepting you. Don't worry, don't leave. And this wonderful story, I was just reading this Jadurani Mataji's pastime. And you know, one of the painter in our ISKCON Sampradaya. And she has done most of the wonderful paintings. So she one time made a painting. And when she was making the painting, she wanted to make Radharani and Krishna. And she wanted to make Radharani look the most beautiful. So she was looking for various paintings. So she found a Dutch painting. And that Dutch painting, it was a beautiful face of Radharani. She said, I had never seen a girl with more beautiful face than this. But the only problem with that face was that the face was in the other direction than Krishna. So Krishna was already drawn, but the face was in this direction. So Krishna is here and Radharani is here, but the face is like this. But she said the face was so beautiful, she said, I didn't want to even mirror image the face and draw it. I just wanted to draw it as it is, because it was so beautiful. And then when Prabhupada saw that painting, actually, in New York, so the painting was kept in New York, and Prabhupada saw that painting, and Prabhupada mentioned to Govind Dasi, he said, it seems that Radharani has some other boyfriend. So Govindasi kept that in her mind. So it was a garland. So Radharani was offering garland, but the garland was like this. And the face was like this. And Krishna is here. So Prabhupada just jokingly passed that comment. So then Prabhupada was traveling to Boston. And then Jadurani Devi, she was in Boston. And that day, because Prabhupada was coming, all the devotees were making the temple nice. And nobody had time to even go and receive Prabhupada. So somebody said, told her only that you go and receive Prabhupada. So she said, okay. So she went in a taxi to airport, and Prabhupada got down from the airport, and Govindasi was there with Prabhupada. And as soon as Govindasi met Jadurani Devi, she whispered in the eyes, you know, Prabhupada says that the painting that you have drawn, it appears as if Radharani has another boyfriend. So she became little, she said, acha. When she understood the mistake that she has committed. So then, in a private room when Prabhupada was there in Boston and everyone paid obeisances, she went to meet Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada, it seems that, you know, that painting was wrong, and probably you said that Radharani is actually has another boyfriend. He said, I can do the painting again. Prabhupada said, no. Wait, I didn't say like that, he said. The Prabhupada said, no. Actually, Radharani is offering garland to Yadurani, he said. And Radharani is, that's why she's her in this direction. And she's actually giving the garland to Yadurani because Yadurani has done so many wonderful paintings. And Yadurani Devi, Mataji heard this. She had tears in her eyes. Because the way Prabhupada said it, it was a fact. When Prabhupada is saying Radharani is offering garland to Yadurani, that means Radharani is offering garland to Yadurani. There is no other alternative. And he believed it. And this reciprocation is so important. And just imagine if this reciprocation wouldn't have taken place. You know, the devotee would have continued. But when the reciprocation takes place, and when a Brahmana, a Vaishnava, or a leader of the community makes it happen, it gives such amount of faith in the heart of a person that faith cannot be revoked. It becomes an irrevocable faith. That is very important. And I'll just tell you one more example. And this actually happened in the with Radhana Swami Maharaj. So I'm just going as per Sampradaya. And of course, the Acharya whom I have heard most from is Radhana Swami. So I'm just telling that past time. So one time in Jagannath Puri, we were there. And it was the first Jagannath Puri Yatra, I think, which happened in big scale, where Jagannath's chariot stood and it did not reach the temple. And it's 2000? Okay. So we stood there, and then somehow in the night, Radhanath Maharaj started doing kirtan. And he kept on doing kirtan. The devotees were tired. And it was like 7:30 in the night, and we all have been dancing throughout the day. And he again kept on doing kirtan. And my legs were paining like anything, and the devotees around me who were like, you know, pushing themselves up. Okay, I have to dance. And you know, it was just becoming like so difficult because everyone was damn tired. But he made it continue till 8:30, 8:45, the kirtan is going on. And finally at around 8:45 or 9-ish, the kirtan stopped. And we were like completely devastated. And next day, of course, we all joined the Rathayatra. And in the evening, Radhanath Maharaj took all the devotees to beach. And devotees had a nice bath in beach. And then he sat on the beach. And the first sentence he spoke in the lecture, I still remember. He said, yesterday, all of you were dancing so enthusiastically. Jagannath was so sweetly smiling and looking at all of you. And that one sentence, yeah, it was all worth it. You know, all that pain, all that agony, all that, it's all worth it if Jagannath is looking at you with a smiling face. So, see, if that sentence wouldn't have been spoken, so many things happened in just that one sentence, that yes, Krishna accepts your austerity also. He's accepting your devotional service. It is so important. So this principle of reciprocation is extremely important. And wherever this has not happened, it has caused a lot of problems. All the problems that you see nowadays, people curse Brahmanas, right? If you go to South India, they have a phrase called as Tam Bram. That means a Tamilian Brahman. So, and there people really sometimes accuse them, they don't talk to them nicely, right? You have heard all these things, they come in newspapers. Why this has all happened? Is because whenever there was a time to give reciprocation properly, the reciprocation was not given. Brahmanas are exclusively meant for this purpose. That is the part of Astikyam. And I'll tell you one example. After my father passed, we went to Mayapur to submerge the ashes. And somehow by the mercy of Sridhama Prabhu and all the devotees that time, Jananivas Prabhu arranged to do the Asthi Visarjan of the ashes. So I asked him, what should I bring? So one item he said is, you bring honey with you. And I was like, honey? On Asthi Visarjan? So I couldn't correlate. He said, no, get honey. And then when the Asthi Visarjan was taking place, he said, now you make these balls of asthi and now you put honey in it. So I put. And then you offer it in the Ganges. So we did like that. I said, why honey? He said, you are offering ashes to Ganges. She's actually consuming them. She's testing them. So they should taste very sweet. So you put honey. So that one simple thing of putting honey, the conviction of your heart is, yes, now Ganges has accepted those ashes. So it's a very small thing. Right? So only a Brahmana can do this. He can make a person feel that, yes, Krishna is accepting your service. Huh? It's such an important principle. So, once a question was asked to Radhana Swami Maharaj. He said, how can we be like that? How can one reach to this stage that he can become a transparent instrument of reciprocation of Krishna and a devotee? How can he become that transparent instrument? And he gave a very simple answer. He said, you should have absolutely powerful sadhana. Extremely attentive sadhana. Why attentive sadhana? Because reciprocation takes place only when you are attentive. Without attention, where is the question of reciprocation also? You cannot reciprocate with a Krishna, with a person, unless you are attentive of what is happening around. You know, attentive to and sensitive to the needs of the person. Right? So the most important part is, therefore, in this whole process of Harinam Japa, the Japa is considered as a Yajna. Yajnanam Japa Yajyosmi, Krishna says. And in every Yajna, you have to offer ghee. So what is this ghee? So this ghee is this attentiveness. Because attentiveness is the essence of a person's life. If a person is not attentive, he is as good as he is dead. How you discriminate between a living person that is attentive? Right? So attention is the essence of a person's existence. So when you chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra, the ghee that is being offered in the yajna is the attentiveness. You have to sacrifice that attentiveness. The attentiveness is getting challenged. Is getting challenged by so many thoughts and distracted, but you have to sacrifice that attentiveness for the pleasure of Krishna. You have to put that attentiveness back, and that is the process of chanting. So powerful attentive sadhana, that's the first thing. Second is regular hearing of the scriptures. So you know, you understand what are the different ways in which Krishna's reciprocation can be done. You should be attentive. You must have heard so many things that can be done for a person. And third is a genuine desire to serve. It's a genuine desire to help a person. If these three things are there, you can become a wonderful transparent instrument. And once we start doing it, you know, then slowly, slowly these people who have some Shraddha in Krishna, that Shraddha will become Nishtha. It will become an irrevocable faith. And then one day they will become wholehearted devotees. Much more and advanced than even the great yogis. And that's what I feel is the import of this discussion. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.